Soy Power Podcast is a free podcast made possible by the support of our awesome Patreon sponsors. Head to toypowerpodcast.com and see how you can help.
Hello and welcome to Toy Power, the podcast where we talk toys and everything pop culture. G'day, it's Trent here, and it's so wonderful to have your company today for episode 349. Oh, very close to the 350. Bit of news on that in a moment, but we're going to talk tonight about the very, very amazing Radical Rewind Batman 89 showing that Brett and Davey put on. And we're going to do a review of the Mezco Fantastic Four set. Joining me today in the Toy Power Studio, we've got Frank.
Hello, hello.
Scotty.
Hello there.
Ben.
G'day, g'day.
And Brett is back.
It's radical to be here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Radical Rewind. This was the event that all of Adelaide was talking about. Screening of Batman 89. It was a bit of Batmania. It felt like it was back, didn't it?
Yeah, I had my Bat shirt on, and yeah. I had my Bat shoes on.
Yep.
Yeah, I was pretty quick to point out my Bat Converse, and yeah, I loved it.
Love it.
That was awesome. Davey hates it, and I'll be very honest about this, that he hates the cheering and the woohoos and things, but God, that was such a good atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, like, and shout out to the fact that he had all these retro, you know, commercials and things. Yep. Even Johnny Farnham.
John Farnham singing about Rundle Mall.
Yep. Stuff.
Okay, that's really early John Farnham. Yeah. And I'm like, I recognize some of those buildings. And me and my wife would just go, is John Farnham singing about Adelaide?
Yep.
What's going on?
So that got a bit of a, you know, whoop-de-doo and Dazzleland and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then Suburban Commando, because Davey just has
loves it. What was great?
Unhealthy obsession with that movie.
I had my 8-year-old son, Robbie, with me to see Batman 89. And the Suburban Commando trailer came on. Yep. And everyone just, when they saw like Hulk Hogan, they just laughed. Like it was just like, and he's like, why is that funny? And I was like, oh yeah, well you have, yeah, there's a bit of context here that you probably don't get.
But you're a bit too young, brother.
Yeah.
But mad respect having Darren up on the screen there with the bat emblem, the shining through, and a bit of a tribute dedication to him. That was was awesome. And audience clapped and, you know, cheered him on. Mad respect for throwing that up there. That was beautiful.
So, Brett, tell us a little bit about Radical Rewind and a bit about the night, the format, etc., and then where to from here. Because I think that was a sold-out show. I haven't been to a cinema has been that full for a long time.
Well, I talked to one of the guys that works there, and I said, oh, so, you know, how often do you get any crowds like this? And he goes, oh, I had a big one for the Barbie movie when that was out. And I said, oh, what'd you get about there? And he goes, oh, it was about 100. And yeah, that's one of the biggest crowds I've ever seen. And the theatre holds 270. And we said, stop it at 250 because we don't want people sitting in them by themselves or in the front row and stuff.
Yeah.
So it sold out at 250. So that's
well done.
Nice.
More than
that's
double.
Huge.
Yeah, Batmania is back.
So yeah, good stuff you, Barbie. Yeah. Batman.
Yep.
Kenner's got the better toy line.
So how did this come to be? Is this something you and Davey have sort of been throwing around for a while? Is it just, were you guys just drunk one night and randomly come up with this idea?
Most of my ideas
come up. how did it
have another
about?
Drink, Brett.
Yeah, give us my beer. Yeah. So you've talked about it on the show before, the Marvel movies that I used to do, or still do. They just haven't released any for what seems forever.
Yep.
Where we all come for the toys and beers. We hire out the cinema, put the movie on.
Come for the beers, stay for the toys.
Come for the beers, stay for the toys. Yeah, I do the raffle there.
Yeah.
After the first one, when everyone's like, well, that was freaking weird, how it just started and there was nothing before, and then started the tradition of putting trailers and stuff before it as well. When Davey had also done Suburban Commando once before.
So but the wider public was not
the
so
wider public
ready for it.
Yeah. hadn't been blessed with it.
Yes, that's right. That's a beautiful word. Yeah.
So yeah, so I'd been doing that. I'd done a few other ones of other old movies and stuff, like for my partner Sarah's birthday and stuff like that. And then me and David kind of tossed around the idea of actually opening it up to the public and then doing it. Obviously, he loves his 90s, 80s movies and stuff like that, so we would aim it at that. And then, yeah, I think it was at Scott's house when we were all around there the end of last year sometime.
That's
we were
right.
really like, let's actually do this kind of thing. And then coincidentally enough, so Dave's Video Graveyard actually has an address, the podcast.
Hmm.
And it just so happens to be the public toilet block that's about 100 meters down the road from the Odeon Cinema where we have it. There's like a public toilet there, and he's Google Maps, Dave's Video Graveyard, this location, whatever it is.
It's probably somewhere he painted it or something.
Yeah, 150.
Oh, it's such a Dave thing to do.
It's
like
150 Semaphore Road, Dave's Video Graveyard. It's a picture of the toilet on Google Maps. And people have like left like reviews out of paper, and you know, there's like a photo someone's like taken of the toilet with like stuff. Just like classic Davey. And yep. Yeah, so the guy that does all the marketing for Odeon, he's like, oh, there's this video shop place. It's like only like 100 meters down there. What is this? Like, he's like, found it. And he's like, gone. And then he's messaged Davey and said, oh, I can't find your shop.
Yeah.
What is like trying to get in contact with him to see if he can, you know, score something up with
deliver a pizza or something.
Yeah, yeah. And then Davey's like, oh no, that's just, you know, whatever. So he's said to the guy, yep, no, that's just I'm do a podcast, I don't have a shop, or however the conversation went. And then
just a bit of tongue in cheek, yeah.
Yeah. And then we went to see National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. They had that on there like the week of Christmas or something last year. I ended up talking to him and he's like, yep. And then Davey said, obviously, oh, yeah, we're already doing this at the Palace Cinemas. I've been doing it there, the private screening. And he's like introduced me to him and said, yeah, this is the guy. He also runs the toy fair. Like we kind of blew ourselves up kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, you're like 5,000. Like, he's there and he does this and he does all this all the time. And Davey's like, yeah, yeah, I've got all millions of followers on that podcast. kind of spooked ourselves, and he's like, but then we were like, hang on, he's like desperate. And yeah, and it just you know, kind of went from there. The guy's like, yep, come back, we'll have a proper meeting next week. Went there, met the son of the owner and who's the manager, talked with him and just said, yep, this is what we want to do, what can we do, what can't we do. Threw a few ideas at him, and then he pretty much took the keys out of his pocket and dropped them in our hands and said, you sound like normal guys that I can trust. Whatever you want to do, go and F and do it.
Wow. Nice. What a cool conversation.
Awesome. Yeah. We pretty much said, here's the keys, go do it. And that's not something you say to me or Davey, because we will go and
and push the limits.
And push the limits. So, yeah, obviously we had our first one
last week.
Yep.
And, yeah, it was, a massive success. So I went in kind of optimistic that we'd get a small crowd, because I didn't want to get deflated if we didn't. But I planned for a sellout because I didn't
want it.
Because everyone's like, no, you might only get like a small crowd. You don't want to feel bad. And so I was like, oh, all right, I'll plan for that. Oh, I'll just tell everyone I'm going to do that. But I want to plan for a sellout because I don't want to be caught, you know. And then we just went all in. And then Davey and did like an amazing social media campaign.
Brilliant. Amazing. And the Photoshop of Batman standing on top of the Odeon. Stuff like, I loved all that, you know. And just driving by, you see the facade of the what movies are coming up, and you know, he's Photoshopped Batman 89 and stuff and on there, and it's just so cool. The social media thing, I think, definitely helped.
It was brilliant.
Get the every man there that isn't part of our close knit group, because it was phenomenal.
And for people who don't know, the Odeon Star is one of those really old school movie theaters where it's got like, you know, it's got a proper like a marble sort of like foyer to it. You get, you know, brass sort of fittings on all the handrails and these sorts of things. And then you go in the cinema and it's got this lovely sort of architecture up above and that
very
sort of
Gotham.
Thing. Yeah. In a darker shade of black, it would definitely be a Gotham cinema. Yeah.
But it's not. Yeah. It's not one of the corporate Hoyts or a Great Union or something. Yeah. It's family business.
Like I said, the manager of the son of is the son of the owner, and the only reason they don't manage it anymore is because they retired because they've had it for 40 years or something that. It's the building's 100 easy years old. There's just the one massive cinema, and then they've kind of turned the underneath bit into two smaller cinemas.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's that old building, no modern things. The candy bar still looks like it's from the 60s kind of thing.
Yep. With decent prices as well still.
Yeah. $10 is their regular price.
Yep.
In Australia, it's you're looking at like 20 for an average movie ticket.
Yep.
And the same with this, like the guy's like, all right, so how much do you want to charge? How much do you want me to put on the ticket thing? Because most people put like 15 or 20 when they have special events on.
Mm.
And we're like, but your tickets are $10. Why would we put more on it? We want to keep it.
I think
we want it for, it's a family event. Yeah. We want people to, you know, you bring two or three kids and that's $100 and then you go, you buy popcorn and that's like $100 per popcorn. So we wanted to keep it.
Brilliant.
And plus, like I was saying to Scott earlier, I think when he said when he saw Batman in 1989, he paid $7 for his ticket.
Yep.
So that's pretty close.
Thanks
to
for aging me,
Batman
mate.
Price.
Still got his stub.
That's what I mean. Like, so
that's the slowest rate of inflation I've ever heard of. Like,
Well, that's it. So it kind of keeps the prices down there as well. Yeah. So.
And was there ever any debate that Batman was going to be the first movie, or did you guys go back and forwards on that? Or
we put together a list of a whole bunch. Like I went through and just made a list of like 50, and then kind of dwindled some down, and then we compared it. And I had some that he had, and you know, we kind of put that together.
Mm.
And then there was just a few kind of ones that we have to do it. And then Batman was kind of one of the ones that. He's like, no, we've got to do that. It's the first one. That's the one that'll get everyone in.
Yep.
And that's where we can trial things. And if something goes wrong, it doesn't matter too much. And then Turtles being the next one, he's like, that's like the one that we would have trialed and we'll go for gold.
So let's not just brush over that. 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is going to be in the April slot. So that was announced at the theater as part of the trailers, and that got a almost standing ovation for excitement. Fantastic, almost custom cut trailer with a lot of Shredder. And
I'm guessing, did
Dave, was that a custom cut?
I don't know.
I've never seen that trailer before.
I don't know about a custom cut, but I can tell you every voice of dialogue in that trailer is not what's in the original release.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if it's... I was going to ask Davey.
Davey put the trailers together.
I feel like Davey did that deliberately just because he knows the movie as well as I do, and he would have gone... He's found it's like a, you know, a foreign trailer from another country perhaps. Okay. I don't know.
I think he's amateur on it being the theatrical trailer.
Hmm. Oh, there was too much revealed, though.
So that might be what was shown in the cinema in 19...
Right.
But this is me, like, speculating. Yeah, that might have been the one that was shown in the cinema back then.
Yep.
Where it was like when the VHS comes out, that's the trailer you saw for that. Or when you watch She Hired, you know, whatever, another movie, and it was on the trailer from the video store.
Just every spoken word was like a dub. Yeah. It was not the original audio from the film. That's what kind of threw me. But... Yeah. Very cool to, and it was good because as Ben was sort of alluding to, we saw all these things, you know, Dazzleland and John and all this stuff, and then a trailer for Turtles comes on, you go, oh, of course, this makes sense, and then it, you know, goes straight into the poster for, was it April 12th?
Yeah, so that was kind of the point, like we're trying to hide what the movies are for that surprise. So we had, you've had two, so we had like a proper trailer and then the comedy trailer, which was the Suburban Commando, and then, Turtles came on. And, like, instantly people in the cinema are like, you can hear them, and, like, getting all excited. And then getting more and more excited. And like you said, everyone's like, yeah, that was so good kind of thing. And then there's like that 2 second pause and then the Turtles music starts and the poster flyer.
Yes. Yeah, everyone realized what they were looking
at. And it's like April 12th, Odeon Cinema. And then everyone's like, clapping away and stuff like that. And that's kind of what we wanted instead of like, you're just on your phone, like while you're on the toilet scrolling. And it comes up on Instagram and stuff. And, you know, like it's just...
You saw it here first.
And it's, it's also that is you've gone and seen the movie. And it's like the old days, you'd go and see a trailer.
Yeah.
And that's the first place that you would see it kind of thing. Because it wasn't, you couldn't go on YouTube and watch something.
Yeah.
Mm. And then, we put all the flyers during the movie, went downstairs, put a table out and scattered all the flyers.
Yep.
So people could grab them on the way out. And I just said before, there was 200 and about 2/3 of the flyers went off the table.
Fantastic.
So,
great.
So hopefully, we'll get a big crowd or we might have to.
So even outside of the actual release of the film and sitting in the actual theatre itself, you had billboards and sort of photo booths almost set up. So Declan was taking everyone's photo in front of the Radical Rewind, wallpaper and stuff. I thought that was awesome. A whole thing of on Facebook has gone up of everyone that stood in front of the banner there. King Kaiju Collectibles had a stall selling some fantastic gear. Who else?
Collector World.
Yeah. Collector World. Mm. Yep.
And Gamma Rays. They had a stand there as well. Good to see Ian.
So we thought, we'd have like a little market. So it's something put on an event on before the actual movie, instead of just like going, getting your popcorn and chatting to your mate for a second and going inside.
Mm.
You'd come and that's where we advertised at 7 o'clock, red carpet market. Yep. Had the media wall so you could come down and get your photos if you wanted. We were hoping a Batman would show up. We tried to contact a few people to come, but none of them came, unfortunately. Ben didn't want to come down in his Batman because he's not a team player.
My cowl is no good. So story to the world. For my 30th birthday, I had a costume party. It hands down was, aside from my 10th birthday, it is the best birthday I've ever hosted. It was just phenomenal. Every single person, including my mum and dad, came to the birthday fully head to toe dressed up in character and stuff. It was amazing. So I came as Batman as 89 and I got a full like motorbike outfit all done up in Batman things. And I remember standing around and I'm chatting to Sub-Zero and and Wolverine done Logan style Marvel Universe and things. And I'm talking about how I've done my costume. Everyone's commenting how cool I look. I'm like, went to the tailor and from my knee, I got a zip like all the way right up to my other knee. So going right around my, my thing. So if I need to go to the toilet, I can relieve myself no problem. And all of a sudden that situation dawned on Sub-Zero, who's wearing a one piece. How am I going to Sub-Zero's take off my...
freeze it and wait until later?
I think a lot of plants died out the front of my house that night from people from both Black Suit Spider-Man and Sub-Zero helping each other getting out of these one-piece suits, like almost de-clothing the hot.
Sounds like your suit had more technology than the original Batman suit, and then, because they didn't think of that.
And to the point, like, during the night, you're quite a few beers in and all of a sudden Black Suit Spider-Man doesn't need to take off his mask to drink through his mouthhole piece anymore. It just got a bit loose. But anyway, long story short, I had a really, really cool cowl, like it was aftermarket eBay type thing, and I put it on a foam head, a mannequin foam head, and the heat we get in Adelaide, it infused onto foam piece. So when I tried to separate it,
so now it's a statue.
Tore. Well, it tore and everything.
Stuck it to your shoulder, like headbanger or something.
I've always said I need to replace that mask. I haven't yet. And so situations like this, I could have, I should have just got my stuff together everything else is ready to go. It's just the damn mask. That's
question. Did you shave your goatee for your Batman?
Yes, I went down to a number one. So I just had very short stubble, and it was the shortest it's been since I started growing it when I was 21. And then I grew it back.
So once every 10 years, pretty much. Shaved.
Well, that's every fancy dress I go to, I have to find someone with a beard.
I've turned 40.
As of April this year, I've had my beard for 20 years to the day.
Ooh.
Never been probably shorter than maybe like a two stubble.
Mm.
So I like majority of the people I know outside of family have never seen me without a beard. Like full on, like 41 now, so it's just like it's. I don't know.
My dad did the same thing. He had a beard the whole time, you know, growing up. That's what he did. And then what he did, one of those, you know, shave for cancer type things, and did his head. And then they're like, "Do you want to do the beard as well?" And I didn't know this. No. And then he comes in and he's, you know, with all due respect, looking like Scott. And this is the first time I've ever seen my dad clean shaven in like, you know, 20 years. And I'm like, "Can you do me a favor? Can you get your pinky and just point it at the corner of your mouth and just quote Dr. Evil?" And he did it.
No. I just imagine I'll get home and the cats will look at me and start hissing. And run
Who are you? You're a stranger. A
freak.
So for anyone living in Australia, they would have, and hired a VHS ever, they would have got the have you got what you paid for?
Yeah.
And that screened up on the screen, and it was, I think it was a bit slower than I remember because it was always, fast forward.
But it was designed so that even if you were fast forwarding, you had to read it.
But it was a beautiful reminisce, you know, we always talk about it and things, but to see it on the big screen again.
I was sitting next to your brother and we called that as the I think the 80s graphics or whatever come up. I was like, there's got to be like a private piracy warning come up, doesn't there? Like,
I think that was part of it. We wanted to put like that, that kind of ad that you'd always see before, like the warnings. Like there was the other one later on that was that one from inside the video shop where it had all the different movies.
Yeah, that's right.
Back to the Future and the cartoons and stuff like that.
Getting the ratings
before the trailers. Yeah. And then, we wanted like the old ads instead of like finding out about, you know, the pharmacy down the street and, you know, a Telstra ad or something like that. It's actually like we put a fun ad from when we were kids. We had the Batman toy line and all that kind of thing. So things that would have been around in that era.
Yeah.
So just make it that little bit more
fantastic,
entertaining.
I guess. And he gave away some wicked prizes. Certain
bit of a raffle.
Rose got more prizes than others. which it's, you know, pretty luck funny. Of the luck of the, you know, draw, but still.
It did seem rigged, didn't it?
No, it is what it is.
The two people directly in front of us, and then three people behind that.
Yeah, and then there was a couple
son. And then two other people.
There was a couple that I think they won one of the first prizes or something, one of that first thing. And then later on, the wife won the other prize.
The wife won and then the husband won. Yeah. But then it was good because I'm like, is that this old couple? They're like, they don't want a Batman toy. Like, you know what I mean? I was like thinking, they're just like, oh, we won. Well, didn't seem to care. But then when they came and collect their prizes, they were actually there with their grandkids.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Kids got these toys each, so it was great.
And you should have said, like, there was a kid in front of us who maybe 16? I don't know. 15, it's hard to tell sometimes. Ages, but that kid's number was 115, and I think 125 came up. He's like, "Oh, so close!" Showing everyone in the row, "Oh, so close!" And then 115 was called out a couple of things later, and just seeing the excitement on his you know body language and stuff. I even gave him a pat on the shoulder, like, "Well done, man!" Like, it was really cool seeing firsthand how excited people got.
And it was for two of them are from you. So you had the neck of Batman and the superheroes.
Yep.
Superpowers Batman. So that was good of you to donate that. That was very much appreciated.
Mm. Yeah, we jumped on as sponsors for the event and it was great to see the Toy Power recognition and the symbol up on the big screen. Yeah. It was a nice little thing.
Mm. Yeah.
And what do we think of the film? Like, for many it's probably the first time people saw it in the cinema.
For me it was.
Yeah, definitely in the cinema. And there was, I think we spoke about this last week, that there was right behind where Ben and I were sitting, there was a girl behind us who quite clearly never seen it before. Just could tell from just her reactions. There was one point where she just went, "Oh, that Jack Nicholson, he's pretty good, isn't he?" And I'm like, "You haven't seen this movie." Like, and just imagine her. I didn't turn around to make it obvious, but I just imagine her partner would have been the one who'd, you know, say, "Hey, come along and see this movie." And she seemed to love it. She was going at all the right moments and laughing at all, you know, crazy Joker actions and stuff. Like,
it's funny, the kid, I think the kids, and I think I've heard Callum say it as well, Robbie say it. As well, they all thought Joker's girlfriend or Jack Napier's girlfriend was going to become Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. Harley Quinn wasn't even invented. She wasn't even a character when this movie came out. So, no, you're not going to see Harley Quinn in this movie, sorry, or pretty much any of the other films for a while. But it's funny where their minds go, and I like that. So they're always obviously paying some attention. Jack Nicholson. God damn, it should have been called The Joker. Like, his good, portrayal was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, lack thereof. Amazing.
It's funny, like, you know, it's a movie that, you know, I know very well, and most of us do here as well, but there's still little things because it's, I don't know, because we know the story beats and what's going to happen, you can really focus in on little sort of moments and little reactions. Yeah. And the one that jumped out to me was, you know, the end point of the film where Joker's dancing with Vicky Vale and she, you know, sees Batman and starts, you know,
kissing his shoulder.
And then she really quickly just goes, she gets like a fiber from the man. She just takes out. Like, I've never seen that before. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Like just little moments like that.
For me, it was when the parade's happening, right? And it's in full swing.
Yeah.
And then Batman, he sees the Batwing fly across and he's like, right, boys, time to call it and stuff. So he starts walking down this little steps thing. It's really tiny. And then he goes to step off the float, which is quite probably a meter or two off the ground. Mm. And there's one of the henchmen just, you know, actively bends down and becomes his step to get down. I'd never seen that. That was gold. That shows caliber of, like, I'm the boss. Yeah. Right? And it's just done so smoothly in succession to, everyone's following his steps and things and, bend down, you know. And, it was brilliant.
Yeah. No, I think the Nicholson show is incredible. I think Robbie was trying to follow the politics. I was trying to sort of explain to him, you know, he's the main boss, and you know that's his girlfriend, but he's setting him up because you know this. Yeah. And I think whether you pick that up or you don't, like it's nicely done. Jack Palance as well. I think he plays a very small role, but a very good role. Never likes to watch his own films.
Right.
Never likes to watch himself in films, Jack Palance. But that sequence where, cause obviously he murders the Grissom, the main boss, and then he kind of tries to assert power over the other crime families, and there's this sequence where they're at a boardroom table with all the other crime bosses, and they don't really want this, crazy guy taking control. It's like, and what's with that stupid grin? Just like some of the lines, life's been good to me. And you see him like with the makeup, like with the human style makeup on top of the white actual. And that sequence where he gets that, you know, dissenting kind of crime boss with the gag hand
and the buzzer
and crisp him up. Yeah. And then there's that sort of, when he's left alone, he's just talking to this corpse. Like it goes from sinister and evil and creepy to kind of like jovial, and he's laughing. It's such a brilliant portrayal.
Does his tie up at the end?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I'm glad you're dead. You know,
and then he repeats it.
Yeah,
he chuckles to himself. Yeah, it's almost as if he's like listening to someone that we can't hear.
Yeah.
You know, that's talking back to him and things. It's just so good.
And it's funny, on the trip back, my wife just goes, "Look, I know everybody loves Heath Ledger. He won the Oscar.
Yeah,
but that's the best joke.
Yeah. It is.
And I just went. I hadn't because I'd always considered the Jack Nicholson one very, very a bit camp. But watching it again now with the Heath Ledger stuff sort of a bit fresher in the mind, you go, he's that perfect blend of the two. He takes the Cesar Romero really campy stuff with the crazy laugh and, you know, making bad jokes. And then he's got that real vicious turn that Heath Ledger sort of made famous and brought to the role.
Yep.
Like he's that perfect blend of the two.
Really, yeah, because he is just sinister and twisted. Like that where he confronts Vicky Vale at the cinema, like the sequence where he just murders all those, gases everyone and then storms and destroys all the art. But then, you know, like you think, oh, he's trying to seduce. He's trying to seduce Vicky Vale. But now he just wants to turn her into a living work of art and goes for her with his like poison posy. It's like he just turns like into this psycho. So it is fantastic. I love this film for its visuals and for the design. The matte paintings are beautiful. The style of the Batmobile, the style of Gotham.
The Batmobile is hands down the coolest vehicle in cinema history. Like I froth over it. Like I just love it to death. It's just so cool.
There's just that sequence where I think he's got Vicky Vale in the Batmobile and they're driving through like this dark road and the autumn leaves are just blowing everywhere. Yeah. And I just without sort of realizing I said it, I just went, this is so cool. Yeah. Like I just said
and
that
the music
out loud.
On that sequence. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
It's sort of and that it's so Tim Burton, that forest, isn't it? Like that dark foreboding, the trees that they've picked.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And there's a lot of like beautiful, like you notice the goons are wearing like the jacket. And it's got the face. Joker face from like the 70s comic, you know, and that's plastered on the Joker van as well. So just the way they've incorporated the legacy of the designs as well. Yeah. I think, is it the guy, the cartoonist in it?
Yeah, Bob
Kane. Is that actually
he draws
it's,
the
it's got written Bob Kane in the corner.
He draws the bat at the start of the film.
Yeah, the bat in the tuxedo.
Yeah.
I know, I can see he's got Bob Kane's signature on it, but is that actually Bob Kane?
Look, Batman was drawn in
the early 30s,
so yeah,
but I think it is a cameo of someone from memory. Darren would have known.
Yeah. But I love how, like, because obviously Batman can't turn his head nor look up or down. And I think it's never captured how much, like, when Batman needs to look up, he almost bends over backwards.
Michael Keaton would have done his back filming
gosh,
that
it
movie.
It was hilarious. you know, and I think that's the best thing about going to the cinema is you put your phone away and you don't look at it. There's no distractions.
Yep.
There's no Facebook notifications or something. You are,
can't pause
you
it.
Know, yeah, you are blinkers on watching the film and just dedicated. So, yeah, it was a fantastic experience. Even though I watched it a few weeks ago, ready for the Dave's Video Graveyard review, I picked up on a lot of things that I'm like, oh, man, why didn't I say that, or why didn't I pick up on this? Like, I think it's just seeing in that big screen that it really opens it up to your, you know, peripherals. So,
I think that is Bob Kane. He died in 1998. So,
brilliant. How old?
He looked pretty young. That fella
sitting behind a
desk.
He wouldn't have been what 40, maybe 50 at a push.
Yeah. That's him with Keaton Batman. He looks about 60, 70.
What, Batman had been around 70 years, just under.
He was a bit slimmer, I think, in the portrayal. But
he might have been in the film as another cameo. But I don't think the artist specifically was him. So, yeah.
Very good.
Wonderful event, wasn't it, guys? It was just, you know, a community, everyone there to experience and enjoy and just let themselves become involved in this film, and just everyone walked out with a buzz and a sensation of just absolute jubilation. And thank you so much to Brett. Everything that went well on the night was clearly attributed to you, and the things that didn't work out too well, Davey will try harder next time and see if we get those right.
Davey put in a massive effort. Like, obviously couldn't have done it without him. And he was insane on the night. The family came down and helped out. That was great. Like, everyone that put in their little bit extra, it was amazing. And then just to get the responses from everyone saying how much fun they had and how much they enjoyed it. And as like you said, as much as Davey hates it, everyone at the end of the clapping.
I hands down love that. Yeah. There's only a handful of movies I've actually been to the cinema for, and there's been clapping and things, and I freaking just get a buzz out of it. It's just so cool. It generally, you feel one with the crowd when everyone's excited and seeing the same sharing the same excitement and stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
So screw you, Davey. I give it 2 thumbs up.
There's so many good moments in that film where there was that collective reaction, like, you know, never rub another man's rhubarb. They're just reactionary type lines. So.
And my wife and I were debating the protocol around, are you allowed to like audibly quote lines? You know, like, because her favorite is, you know, and where is the Batman? He's at home washing his tights. Like, that's her line.
Yeah.
And so when I knew it was coming up, I'm looking at it.
That's what this is because the people that are there. It's not someone that hasn't, well, some people hadn't seen it before, but like, it's people that are there because they love Batman or they love the Ninja Turtles or whatever. And they're like, I want to say that, but can I?
Yeah.
And then someone else says it and like, I'm going to say that too, kind of thing. And it's amazing. Like, I've only ever been in a few movies like that. I saw,
I just remembered a bit.
Spider-Man, No Way Home. I went to a midnight screening, and obviously everyone there is diehard Spider-Man fans. And everyone's just calling out the bit where, you know, Matt Murdock puts his stick out. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's fucking...
Yeah.
He catches the brick. And then when, you know, you can see... Sorry, spoiler alert. You can see Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man kind of come to appear and everyone's like, stands up. They're like crying and clapping. It's insane. And then, that's kind of what we wanted to give everyone is that kind of experience where you can, you don't have to... be reserved, you can actually go out and cheer and have fun and clap just to annoy Davey.
We were
literally, because we went out before it finished, we're in the foyer and he's like, it's finished, they're all clapping, you know, idiot. But I don't know, people, that's you enjoy media in all different ways, and I think if you want to clap. So.
Oh, cool. Well, for the Turtles one, sit me next to Dave and I'll annoy the hell out of him.
There was a guy to the left of us in the back sort of half of the cinema, and when Bruce Wayne's talking to Vicky Vale, like he's stuttering, trying to say, you know, a man, he gets up, he makes coffee, maybe for someone else. And then he's sort of stuttering and things, and this guy yelled out, get it out! Like, everyone cracked up laughing. It was just the perfect timing to say sort of that thing. Yeah, it was good.
Very good.
All right. Scotty, you've got a box of goodies there. Can you talk us through what you've got in front of you?
Well,
how many? What's the part count on that thing?
The official parts count in there is still away with the supercomputer in the accounting department. I'll get you an answer when it comes through. But what we've got here in front of me, after being announced, it feels like more than 2 years ago, Mezco Fantastic Four Retro Pack has finally arrived. I received it maybe a week and a half back. Huge box, enormous box, because this is sort of like an Ultimates version of a Mezco product. And if you're even slightly familiar with Mezco, these are like miniature hot toys. Yeah. These are sort of the highest end 6 and 7 inch size figures that you can get. So...
And what was significant about the box that you received?
So to sort of make it like an Ultimate style of presentation, this comes in a collector's tin, like the old lunchbox sort of mentality that you used to get.
That's a big lunchbox.
Yeah.
It is, and it's got beautiful symbology all over it. It's got Jack Kirby artwork on the front and on the back of it to sell just how absolutely amazing the contents of this box are going to be. And let me tell you, the contents of this box are absolutely mind-boggling.
Some would say fantastic.
Oh.
Well, if you want to use that pun, there you go.
Give this man a cookie.
It's more uncanny or amazing, I think.
Oh, jeez. Insults are flying.
Thanks for being here, Brett. We'll catch you on the next episode. So, of course, it's the Fantastic Four, and when you open the packaging up and you remove the basic instructions on the top of the box there, you are presented with the four titular characters. You've got Reed, you've got Johnny, you've got Sue, and, of course, Ben Grimm as the Thing. And across the top of the box here, you've got all the alternate heads that come with each of the characters.
Can you do us a count on how many heads there are? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 heads. Is that right?
10 heads across four figures.
And I reckon there's a couple stashed away inside of the box further down with all the other accessories.
Ben with a hat and stuff
like,
on.
So people who collect these figures will be familiar with they come with accessory trays because there's so much, so they're multi-tiered, so they, you know, so the tray of accessories sits underneath. This has what, 3 accessory trays plus the tray with the figures that has on the head.
Yeah, that's right. It's a multi-layered, it's like an onion of goodness, isn't it? There's just layers and layers of awesome stuff to find. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pass a couple of figures around just so we can get a bit of a description of what you guys are seeing. Talk about the quality of the figure, the sculpts, the paintworks. Tell me what you guys think of these, because it actually does occur to me. The reason we chose to do a Mezco review here is that I don't believe we've done a review of a Mezco product in the past.
No, that is a really good point.
There's not too many of us that collect Mezco or have Mezco, so it's a bit of a odd... Yeah,
Brendan Crates on the Discord, BC Talk. Mezco. He is a massive photographer and Mezco fan. And I can tell you what, I received a prune face from the Dick Tracy original Chester Gould kind of. It's stylized, but it's based heavily on that original Chester Gould comic strip, I guess. And the as soon as like I saw all the different versions you could do him with a little cigarette smoking away in front of a typewriter, or you could do him with his gas mask. You can do him with this gun that's got bullet, you know, like it looks like it's mid-firing and you can see the bullet stream. I just wanted to take photos of this thing.
Yep.
So I can see why this is a photographer's absolute dream. Now, what stands out for me, I've collected a lot of six-inch figures in my time. These are by far the best with cloth goods for the scale.
Yep.
Like these are all in superhero. They're in the retro style of skin tight outfit. And it doesn't look baggy. It doesn't look bulky. Yeah.
Yep.
It just fits the form really beautifully. And then obviously as a result, there's no articulation marks in there because it's all underneath the cloth
goods. It's
like
an actual person.
So they are very unique in the sense they have that that cloth goods, but it is they've done it so well because to do it at the 6-inch scale and not make it look unusual is really really tricky.
Not to have seam lines. Yep. That's the big thing, like to get these clothing to fit well, to have the clothing texture not look, you know, out of place for the size of the toy, and then not have big seam lines down the back is a tough gig to, you know, pass. So fantastic.
And it's, as someone who's mucked around, I'm a big articulation nut, and so think of all the Marvel Legends I used to have. These joints feel like they've got the full range of movement. They don't feel loose like you sometimes get with your Hasbro figures and these sorts of things. Like it's going to hold whatever pose you put it in. And to Trent's point, when you bend the knee, that you don't end up with a big gap under the kneecap because it's all covered in cloth. And Johnny Storm, can I say, you can tell he's ripped underneath that. You can see the abs popping out under the amazing cloth goods stuff.
There's no common sculpt for the bodies. Each figure has a unique... And it very clearly represents what you'd expect that figure to look like. And you, as you said, Johnny Storm, you can see chest properly. You can see a bit of ab works there. You can even see muscles in the thighs on the figures as well. It's just little details like that that make it quite incredible to look at.
I think these also have the, we called it out last week, I think, talking about McFarlane, but the ab sort of swivel where it looks like almost under the rib cage. But again, because you've got covered in cloth, you can get that little turn that the human body can actually do, but it doesn't look weird. It looks like he's got ribs because we all have them. Amazing.
Sue, I was looking at Sue Storm because that's what I was presented, and her eyes are just magic. They real shine and gleam to them that makes them her look even more realistic than just a toy action figure. Just so, and eyes are really important. You stuff up the eyes, it takes away from the believability that this is a character.
And these are vintage in terms of the look they're going for. Like, what's it? This is like 60s, like Fantastic Four.
The team's basically inspired by the Jack Kirby, Stan Lee iteration of the Fantastic Four. If you think of what you would see on the page of those first 60 issues of the Fantastic Four, this is it coming to life.
So obviously I'm now playing with Johnny Storm. So Johnny Storm is in his Fantastic Four blue and black outfit, but he can't transform, correct? He's got a bit of a feature-esque where he's
flame
got some flame.
Yep, 100%. There's flame headage here, so you can pull his human head off and you can put a flame effect head in place, but he does maintain his Fantastic Four uniform in doing so. You don't get that light.
But that's how he was in the comics, wasn't it?
But that's definitely one interpretation of how he looked. Yeah, the costumes are like a molecular living sort of environment. So when he does flame on, it may or may not change and flame up with him. And it's like with Reed, when he stretches, the costume goes with him.
Yeah.
It's almost like a living entity itself. But that's Reed's scientific sort of ability to create things and bits and pieces to
look at that. I've got Reed Richards now, and he can stand on one foot very nicely, very well balanced, ready to extend an arm to punch someone or something. They are magic. Reed Richards perfectly encapsulates what I close my eyes and think, what does Reed Richards look like? He's very stern faced that is presented here on this figure. I'm sure he's got other characters. And there's a fifth Fantastic Four in the box.
Yeah, Herbie's with him as well.
The ever lovable.
Are you disappointed the kid's not in there?
Franklin? Or Valeria? Valeria. Yeah, look, Franklin definitely appeared sort of in the earlier sort of runs, you know, sort of around the 100s of the run. But no, I'm not disappointed there's no Franklin there. That in my mind, as much as he's a part of the family, he was more of a, you know, we need something to fill a storyline, so let's include Franklin for a little bit sort of scenario.
Fair enough.
But Herbie's there. I mean, if you ever watched the cartoon from the 60s as a kid growing up, everyone knows who Herbie is. He's the comic relief. He's the Jar Jar Binks, if you will, of the Fantastic Four.
I think he's in the MCU movie, so it's only going to get bigger, people knowing who he is. So, Scott, happy about that? Or are you...
We don't talk about the pending Fantastic Four movie on Toy Power Podcast.
You see, wait till you see the movie. We'll see.
And no, Brett, further to your discussion, there is no Pedro Pascal head sculpt in this box.
I've got Ben Grimm here in front of me. The thing is in full rock mode. And again, like Hasbro have done a few iterations on this guy. This one just has, like, some of the Hasbro ones looked a bit too bright and a bit too, I don't know.
Unrealistic?
Yeah, this one looks like he looks as you'd expect to look him. You can actually see like the seam lines on his belt type thing. But it's a really nice rock texture. He's got all the articulation and more that he's got little butterfly joints because he's got those massively broad shoulders, legs that are going to hold him, and those feet. He's not toppling over anytime soon. And just a really nice texture to him. Like, it looks like he's made of rocks as opposed to just having a bad skin day. Like,
it looks like the way Kirby drew him, the big chunks of rock kind of thing, the big, like, bold, the way he did all these characters with giant hands and faces and features and stuff. And you don't really see that in any of the other thing.
Yep.
Figures, I don't think, especially not like this.
And Reed Richards has got there's other plates in there to extend him.
So included in the same blister as Herbie there, we've got an additional torso for Reed Richards, so he's highly extended. There's a neck articulation point there as well. There's extended boots. There's larger fists. So you can sort of create a Reed Richards that would be 2 to 3 times taller to stand over the team when you've got them set up on display. Sue has her invisible... sort of force field or shield that she can sort of generate as well. But you could also use it as a bit of a, you know, I'm standing on this as a float or fly through the air idea as well. Johnny famously always has the flaming fireballs that he throws out of his hands. There's a set of those in there as well. And there's also like flame sort of effects that you can have coming out of his hands as well that you can plug in. There's an ultimate nullifier in there for when Galactus turns up. You've got some sort of solution for him. And these guys would pose really well if you got one of the Haslabs Galactus. I ultimately will be posing all of these guys together in one sort of scenario. Nice. Ben Grimm, if you've read the comic books, goes through various phases of accepting his rocky exterior. And sometimes... when he's feeling a bit down or a bit depressed, he likes to sort of cover himself up if he goes out in public. So famously, there are images where he wears a trench coat and the hat and the sunglasses. This is all packed in, so you can dress Ben in that attire as well.
Oh, so he looks like a Ninja Turtle.
He looks exactly like an undercover Ninja Turtle.
Hashtag who did it first.
And Yancey Street plays a huge part in the Fantastic Four, and the thing... there are signposted here, so you can do a diorama pose with the Yancey Street signage. There are
lampposts.
The lamppost, that's exactly right. There's stands for the figures to stand on as well to support them when they're posing, with Fantastic Four printed on the bottom there as well. Another one of the blisters here. Yes, there is another layer of blisters. It includes multitudes of hands in various poses as well. Give me a second as I reach out to grab this. okay, there's literally got to be an additional 30 hands for all of the figures in here. There's slender sort of female hands, Reed Richards hands, Johnny Flame on style hands, a bunch more there and there for Ben as well. A stack more effects for the Invisible Woman. But super impressively, if you want to pose Johnny in sort of a flight pose, like he's just flamed on and he's about to take off, there is a dedicated flame effect stand here as well. And this might be one of the cooler accessories that come in the box, because what you're able to do is pick up 3 button batteries. And if you live outside of Australia, they would have actually been included in the packaging for you. You can put these in place, flick the little switch on the bottom there, and this flame effect, translucent orange plastic, lights up. So you've got that effect where Johnny looks like he's actually literally got flames underneath him as he takes off.
It'd be cool if you had settings to flicker, like, so the flame things flicker. Like an actual flame,
yeah. If you were super techie, if you're an electronics guy, that's the resistor to put in there to create that sort of effect. That'd be pretty easy to do.
Sue Storm, has she got any, like, in the Marvel Legends, there's a lot of phasing of clear things. Is there any clear aspects in the...
Bear with me while I juggle through 14 different variations.
Sorry, I didn't mean to catch you off guard.
I don't see anything specific that shows some sort of phasing or modulation as she goes from one sort of aspect to another. I'm kind of cool with that, though.
Invisible head?
Where you just take
that's
the head
in
off.
There.
Yeah, yeah,
it's in there. I just haven't found it yet. Yeah.
She's got a big invisible shield, so that's pretty cool. But I was just wondering.
So I did take a bit of a dig back there about the lack of the batteries with the what we got here in Australia. Clearly, we've got some sort of legislation in place about button batteries. So the company I purchased from, Pop Culture, they did reach out to me and sort of say, look, we can't sell it to you as it is. We've got to open it up. Yeah. We've got to remove those batteries.
Button batteries, selling them in any sort of form that is not childproof is against the law. And so that no company is allowed to sell button batteries in regular, in regular products that are easily openable.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that even translates to high-end toys and things like that.
They did remove those from the packaging. They reached out to me. They let me know that was going on. And they offered a discount to say sort of, apologies for the inconvenience. And
the law's the law.
Yeah, well, exactly right. But
better to get it without the button battery.
Yeah. And as Ben said, I'm going to set it up and turn it on once and go, hey, man, that's heaps cool. And then take the batteries out and probably never, ever put it back in there. So it's not the biggest miss overall. If I want to see what it's all about, I'm sure I can... Mm. Locate some button batteries somewhere, somehow, some way, and see what it's all about. So that's an easy pass. I didn't really have much of an issue sort of losing those out of the packaging.
Mm. And hey, one of my favorite accessories that Trent pointed out on that bottom tray, there looks to be 4. It just looks like I thought they were stands at first, but they're actually plastic baggies that have Mezco 112 sort of written on them. So that you can go, well, I've got all these 15 trays of accessories, Let's say I don't have room for this impressive looking tin. You're going to do what most collectors do. You're going to put all your little accessories in a bag. And now you've got one that's got literal Mezco branding on it. And you can go, well, here's all the stuff for Sue. Here's all the stuff for Johnny. And I love that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They're thinking ahead, aren't they, to the collector and what they want to do with the storage. Mm. So it is... Look, it's attention to detail. It's a high-end product, but they really have nailed what they're doing.
Is that a that's a cloth trench coat for Grimm?
Yeah, sorry, it is cloth trench coat to go with all the other cloth goods that they've got. Ultimately, it's a premium experience. This would be to me like going to a Rolex shop and you're buying a premium product. So you expect it to be packaged in such a way where it's an adventure.
Shut up, Ben.
You can buy watches.
Get your tin of Rolex watches. It's an experience. It's an adventure to open it up and sort of pull it apart and sort of go through and see what is, the multiple layers inside of this box as you unpackage it and you sort of get to see what it's all about.
So is this your first Mezco, you were saying, or only Mezco?
This is the only Mezco. Well, that's actually a lie. stay tuned for a future episode. This is my first Mezco to receive in hand, the Fantastic Four. And if you know me well, there's probably another Fantastic Four related figure that was announced by Nezco.
Adversary, maybe.
Yep. Mm. That will be talked about later
yep.
on another Toy Power episode.
Standout character or you love them all?
Who's your favourite?
Sue, honestly. Yep. I think the head sculpt for Sue
that, the eyes
is insanely good.
They're hypnotising.
Yep, the hair and the hair on the multiple different heads that you get there. But the just how well those the paint applications
just say
on
it.
The faces.
Boots. Just say it.
They are 60s boots in it.
they're quite not quite pointy, you know, Egyptian.
Yeah,
you know.
No, they're definitely 60s inspired, aren't they? She's great. Her face looks amazing. Her boobs are bitching. It's a great figure.
Nice.
Very good.
Wonderful. Very good. Yeah, look, I must say I got a prune face during the week, and I had a lot of fun with those trays.
Yep.
A smaller scale because there's only one figure, but prune face came with a typewriter because I think he's a bit of a, you know, he's got like a headphones, bit of espionage, bit of, you know, infiltration. Mm. But the typewriter, you know, when you type and you get to the end, that bar kind of moves
and
push
it.
That's
nice.
All movable on that figure. Like it's just so nicely done.
Yeah, I've had Brendan Crates has got his, I think his turtles are shipping and he's like, oh, did you go in on those? I was like, no, and I regret it at the time. And once I start seeing his photos, I'm probably going to regret it even more. But decision's got to be made, basically.
I've had a couple of Mezco 112 figures for a while. Like I've got the Batman, a Dark Knight, and I love them so much I couldn't decide whether the black suit with the yellow emblem or the blue suit with the yellow. Yep. So I've bought both.
Yeah.
Which are pride of place figures. And then because I love Judge Dredd so much, I've got the Judge Dredd comic book accurate figure, and that is just phenomenal. Like that is like leather with a proper working zip. Magnetic badge that, you know, sits on his chest. It's just and that scale is just amazing what they can do. So, mad appreciation and just, it's nice to see a different, you know, sort of genre and things being presented, and these Fantastic Four are simply fantastic. So,
wonderful. Yeah, very good. All right, Brett, thank you for coming in and chatting Radical Rewind. We look forward to future events and future sellouts. So get in early. Make sure you get your tickets for Ninja Turtles before it all sells out.
Yeah, I think definitely get in if this one's sold out. There is two other cinemas that we can open up, so potentially. But get in because you don't want to miss out, and there might be a special little surprise that might pop in the movie.
Cool.
Just as a taster.
Wow,
nice.
If we can line it up perfectly, something that none of you would have experienced before.
Ooh.
Smell of vision? Are we going to smell the sewers? Is that what it is?
Maybe if I have curry for lunch. But,
and what's happening with the toy fair, the Adelaide?
So we've got toy fair in a few weeks.
Yes.
I don't know. About a month. Yeah.
Coming up quick.
Yeah, quicker and quicker every year. So, April 21st, if you're in Adelaide or anywhere around the world. We had a guy from Puerto Rico came to the last one, which is insane. He thought he'd rather see us than go to see his family in Sydney. So he came to us first. So I'm like, all right, cool. You love me.
Decisions were made.
The right decisions. If you want to check us out, April 21st, we're down at St. Clair again at Woodville. Sold out straight away. It's going to be massive. Come get your toy fix there. Everything.
Comics, video games, artist alley.
Artist alley, we've got Lego.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Something for everyone. Something for all ages. Cannot promote it highly enough. Exciting times. Come and see us. We'll be there.
Wonderful. Very good. Well, thank you, Brett. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to another episode. Frank.
350. What's happening with 350? Frank.
So,
what's happening?
By the time this episode airs, I will be in New Zealand. We're taking a family on a 3-week long holiday, which is the first little holiday with little Master Jack. So good luck. You guys are going to do 350 without me, right? Live stream?
No, we can't do that.
Nah, we're going to have to play around with the numbers, I think. what is it next week?
349.1.
So the 350, just heads up to all our listeners. We love to do the milestone episodes, maybe with a bit of a live stream. A few giveaways is, I think, on the cards. A few
we
prizes.
We need some sponsors, don't we?
We are giveaways.
Brett.
Toy Fair will do something for you. Whatever you need. Radical Rewind. Toy Fair.
Yep.
But so it'll probably be about a month away. So we'll do three episodes without you, Frank. Mm. And then when you're back.
Three or four.
Yep. When you're back, we'll then hit up the 350 milestone episode. So stay tuned for details on the live stream.
Also, it gives us more time to come up with an idea for 300.
I was going
to
say exactly the same thing.
Cool. Worked out well for everyone. Wonderful. Well, have a very safe trip, Frank. Enjoy. Yeah. Hope you find lots of sheep on the road.
Yes. Yeah.
Most people try to avoid them, but you're going to try and find them.
If we get stuck on a road because there's a farmer pushing his flock of 1,000 sheep across the road, I think my son will just, you know, have the best day of his life.
Yeah.
Basically. So, yeah, to your question, Ben, yeah, we've got some horse riding booked in.
Fantastic.
Jack keeps telling everyone, he goes, we're going to go to New Zealand and I'm going to ride the biggest white horse there is. And I'm just like, can't promise it's a white horse.
Yes, well called. You know,
so if we see a brown horse, which is probably more likely, I just go, oh, look, it's a white horse. It's just a bit dirty.
Yeah.
Fill in the mud.
So, no, he's going to love that. We're going to Hobbiton. We've got there's a Marvel exhibition there we're going to go to as well. Yeah, so there might be some gin distilleries around the place that mum and dad can find.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of farm stays for the little man and,
glowworms.
Glowworm caves as well. Yeah, we get to go check that out. North Island only for those who, who's it? Wilderness Nerds.
Wilderness Nerds over there. Yep.
So, yeah, so it's going to be good.
Wonderful.
Looking forward to it.
Have a blast.
Have a very safe trip, safe travels, and we'll see you back here for the big one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Toy Power, and to everyone on the Discord and to all our patrons. Thank you so much for your ongoing support. Stay safe, take care of one another, and we will see you around the toy aisles.
And until next time, good journey!
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/ToyPowerPodcast, at Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram, or have your say and email us, ToyPowerPodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher, and please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.